answer this morning. He's worthy. Let's sing it that way. Oh, he is church. Serve a great God. God bless you. This is 392 in your hymn book. For a long time I traveled down the Church. God bless you. If we have any visitors with us, we'd like to make you welcome and glad to see each and everyone out. A couple of announcements. There'll be no Bible study this month due to the when it falls with the holidays, so looking forward to that next month. And there'll be no practice for the 13 and under children this morning. And so just wanted to make you aware of that. And Lord willing, we will have practice for the 14 and year old and older group for their song this evening after service here in the sanctuary. As we go to prayer, Brother Attila will be preaching in New York this weekend. Please remember him in prayer for the services there and him and his family for Traveling Mercies. Please remember Brother Doug Bruce Sr. in prayer. He had outpatient spinal decompression surgery on Friday. He is in a lot of pain and will have to be off work from 9 to 12 weeks. Definitely want to remember him in prayer. Brother Gary Simmons, Brother John is home from the hospital and his heart is okay. He is being treated for bronchitis, so please remember him in prayer for a complete healing from that. And the Vaughn family is not feeling well this morning. Definitely want to remember them in prayer. Please pray for my Aunt Linda Bennett. She has been diagnosed with lung cancer and is waiting for further test results to see what her treatment plan will be. Thank you. That's from Sister Michelle Fowler. You have an unspoken prayer request you'd like the Lord to know about? He sees your hands. God bless you. Brother Layton, would you come and take us to the Lord in prayer?
For those of you that have asked, and we appreciate it, Brenda's doing fine. She'd had some type of vertigo. With a few therapy sessions, the Lord has gotten the rocks in her head back in place. That's what the doctor told her. She apparently you have some crystals in your ears and they get out of place and they get where they're not supposed to be and it causes vertigo. So the doctor said, in other words, your rocks are loose. She said, well, my husband knew that, but really it was serious. as far as serious goes, you can't sit or stand or lay, and you're dizzy all the time, and you're sick, and you're throwing up. But we thank the Lord for His healing touch and a few treatments, and she's well. Thank you for your prayers and your concern. Now let's take these other ones with earnest prayer before the Lord and asking Him to come on the scene for all of these as we bow our heads. Father God, we realize we can approach the throne of mercy. Lord, you said to come boldly before that throne and ask. Lord, though we come boldly, we also come humbly, realizing that it's all by your grace that any of us are standing here this morning. There's others that would like to be here, but they're sick or they're afflicted from the old enemy. He's just trying everything he can to get your children down, either mentally or physically, and especially spiritually. But Lord, I read where your prophet said that when we come against him in the name of Jesus Christ as your children, that he has to give way. He has to move out. So Lord, we do that this morning from those that are sick with the affliction of a flu or whatever the virus is, for lack of any other name the doctors can give these devils. Lord, to the one with cancer. Lord, to our brother that's down in his back. He's had an operation, but you can heal that. And for our brother that's on the road, Lord Jesus, to minister to some of your children, may you use him in a mighty way. And for every hand that went up, Father, may you come on the scene for the need and the desire behind it. And then, Father, be with us in the service here. Be with the pastors he brings the word of life. Be with those as they meet this afternoon at the Branham Tabernacle, Lord, as they go through their service and they have their communion and foot washing this weekend. May you lead and guide Brother Joseph, and may you bless those. May you bless over at the other churches in the area, Brother Oscars and Brother Burgess. Lord God, we're all brothers and sisters. We love one another and we hold each other up in prayer. We may not see things exactly the same, but Father, you are our Father, and we all believe the same message. Now, Father, may you come on the scene this morning, deliver any that are sick or they're afflicted or going through battles or trials or tests that are here this morning. May your word and your Holy Spirit come in and deliver the people. Come, Lord, you're invited into this service in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask these things and we give you praise in that holy name. Amen. Now, this morning we're going to go ahead and have them be seated, Brother Luke, while they're turning. We're going to finish the 77th chapter of the book of Psalm. We're going to start with the 11th verse and finish up the chapter. 77th. And the pastors informed me we won't be having a psalm reading next Sunday due to time with the different things that will be going on in the service. So the Lord willing, we'll try and pick up the 78th chapter after that. So the 77th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy works of old. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God?
Thou art God that is in the wonders.
Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah.
The Lord saw thee, O God. The Lord saw thee. They were afraid. But thou hast
also been troubled. The clouds poured out water, and the skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad.
The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven, the lightning was in the world. The earth trembled and shaken.
Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. God bless you, saints. Please be seated.
God bless you if the brothers would come at this time.
Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. While I if you'll come. Oh, walk with me, Lord, just walk with me. Oh, walk with me, Lord, oh, walk with me. And while I'm on this pilgrim's journey, I need Jesus.
There is going to be a meeting in the air at that sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you and greet you over there at that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. Glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one in that meeting in the air. There is going to be a meeting in the air at that sweet, sweet by and by.
Why don't we sing that chorus as Brother Ben and Sister Crystal Wright and Sister Leah Leek and Anna Pierce have a song for us. Why don't we sing that chorus together while they come?
There is going to be a meeting in the air in that sweet, sweet by and by. Oh, I am going to meet you, greet you over there in that home beyond. Heard by mortal ear, it'll be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son, He'll be the leading one at that meeting in the air.
And God bless you.
Can't cross the bloodline.
appreciate our special singing this morning. Someone had requested that they sing that song. We appreciate them singing that for us. God bless you. Let's stand. Amen. You glad we serve a Messiah that's the King of all kings? Amen. Why don't we sing this as Brother Nathan prepares to come? Oh, my Messiah, He's the King of kings. Messiah is the Lord of lords. Oh, my Messiah, He's the King of kings. Messiah is the Lord of lords. Oh, He's the King of kings. Oh, He's the Lord of lords. Messiah is the King of kings. Messiah is the Lord of lords. Oh, my Messiah, He's the King of kings. My Messiah is the Lord of lords. Oh, my Messiah, He's the King of kings. Messiah is the Lord of lords. Yes, He's the King.
Yes, our Messiah, He's the King of kings. Messiah is the Lord of lords. Oh, He's the King of kings. And He's the Lord of lords. Oh, our Messiah, He's the King of kings. Yes, He's the King of kings, and He's the Lord of lords. Yes, our Messiah, He's the King of kings. Oh, our Messiah is the Lord of lords. Yes, our Messiah, He's the King of kings. Messiah is the Lord of lords. Oh, our Messiah, He's the King of kings. Messiah is the Lord of lords. Oh, He's the King of kings. And He's the Lord of lords. Oh, Him together. Oh, yes, He's the King. We worship You, Lord. Oh, He's the Lord of lords. Yes, our Messiah, He's the King of kings. Oh, our Messiah is the Lord. Let's sing it to Him one more time. Oh, yes, He's the King. Church, He's the Lord of lords. Oh, my Messiah, He's the King of kings. Messiah is the Lord of lords. not we give him a hand clap of praise this morning? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you richly. Deuteronomy chapter 1, if you turn with me this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 1, I want to look at verses 34 through 36. And I want to continue on this thought that we looked at last Sunday on Kadesh Barnea. And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and swear, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Amen. Amen. Is that what you want your testimony to be?
Yes.
Amen. Wholly followed the Lord. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before your throne again this morning, Lord, I just pray that you would move on the scene again in a special way. Lord, we recognize that there are many needs present, and Lord, I'm unable to do anything to resolve some of the situations, Father, that people are facing. Lord, I'm incapable on my own, but Father, I pray that you would come this morning, and Lord, that you would just send another visitation our way, Lord, like a mighty rushing wind this morning. Lord, may you send revival, not just to this church, but to our hearts and to our community, Lord, to the other local churches, Lord, and around the world for your bride. I pray that you would just send revival, Lord. Keep us in a state of revival, Lord, I pray. Lord, we just ask that you take complete control of the service this morning. Lord, may you guide me to say something that would, Lord, have an impact that would encourage somebody into a closer condition, a closer walk with you, Father. Lord, we just commit it all to you. Lord, we take every need that's represented here this morning before you. We lay it at your feet, Father. We have confidence in you. Lord, may you heal the brokenhearted. Lord, may you restore friendships and restore families and heal the sick in body, protect those that are traveling. Lord, I pray that you would come on the scene, just heal emotional scars that people have received over the years, maybe from family members or friends or coworkers, or maybe from people in churches, Father. I pray that you would just move in a way that only you can, Lord. May you have preeminence in this service, Lord. May you receive all the glory from it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated this morning. As we looked at last week, the children of Israel had come to this point, and Moses had sent out spies to spy out the land, and Joshua and Caleb came back excited about what they had seen, and yet there was another group that was on the exact same trip that they were on, that they came back discouraged and with a testimony of discouragement. Isn't that sad to have a testimony of discouragement? Amen. I want to have a positive testimony. I want to have a positive confession that God is more than able.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. The situation may not look good. The circumstances may be bad. You may even feel bad. And you may not. You may feel discouraged, but still the testimony should be God is more than able.
Amen.
Not only is he able, but he's willing. Because Brother Branham teaches us that God wants to help you, as we looked at Wednesday night. God wants to help you more than you want to be helped. God wants to heal you more than you want to be healed. God wants to save you more than you want to be saved. And in fact, he wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost more than you want to be filled. Brother Bram said it's like a great ocean that was pressing down the pressure. That's how much he wants to press it into you. But it seems like we get discouraged and we listen to the lie of the devil instead of listening to the word of God. And we look at things that are discouraging, and we dwell on discouraging, and we dwell on the negative. But may God help us to look to the positive this morning and see that God loves you. As I said Wednesday night, he's not out to get you. He loves you. He's not willing that any should perish.
Amen.
He cares about you. He's been orchestrating things for thousands and thousands of years to get you into a condition to bring you onto the face of the earth so that he could express himself to you, so that he could have fellowship with you. And then we get discouraged sometime. Well, it just isn't working out the way that I thought it would, so I guess I'll just give up. God help us. And these 10 spies, they came back in the land. Oh, they could testify, hey, God was able to speak through his prophet and tell us about the land. It was just the way that he described it. It was flowing with milk. It was flowing with honey. Oh, my, it's a wonderful land. It's a great land. There's plenty of room for all of our people. There's plenty of room for our children. There's plenty of room for our cattle and our sheep and all of our flocks. And there's plenty of land to plant good crops. And oh, my, the soil, you've never seen soil like this. See, they were raised in Egypt. And desert land, and now he said, oh my, there's room for vineyards, and there's room for wheat, and there's room for corn, and oh my, it's just a marvelous land. He was right about that, but there's just one thing: we're not able to take it. We're not able. Many times that's how we testify to people. Well, oh my, God sent a prophet in this age, and God did wonderful things down through the years. God did wonderful things through Moses and Paul and Jesus when he was here on earth. He did wonderful things. And my, this one and that one, testimony, Sister So-and-so back here in Brother Branham's day. But you know, I'm not that good a Christian, and I'm not able, and I don't have that much faith. And I don't, well, you keep talking like that, and you'll just confess yourself right into it. But I want to have a positive testimony that he who gave the promise is more than able to perform all that he promised to do. Amen. It's a paradox that he would come and he would help people like us. It's a paradox that he would take weak human flesh and he would take humanity and its flaws and its different ideas that people have and different personality traits and things like that. But God would come along and he would select people and he would begin to work through those people, and maybe even at the astonishment of the person themselves, they think, oh my God, how could God ever use me? And then him do it over and over and over. And sometimes he's got to use us about 500 times before he finally convinces us that he can use us. But finally we begin to see, you know what, it's not about me, it's not about my ability. God didn't pick me because of my personality Brother Nathan, you know, he's just this, that, and the other. God didn't choose me because of my good works. He didn't choose me because I was better than somebody else. Amen. He chose me by his own sovereignty and his own grace. And he looked down and, you know, he's looking for somebody that he can get a hold of, that he can use, that'll be flexible to what he's trying to do. The problem is many times we want to do what we want to do and we're not flexible to what he wants to do. But I'm so thankful this morning that there's a group of people that will lay down their ideas and can lay down their agendas and can lay down their plans and say, Lord, you come and you mold me and you make me and you use me as you see fit. Sometimes we get used in ways that we maybe, Lord, I didn't plan on that. I didn't want to go into the prisons, and I didn't want to go be a witness to Siberia, and I didn't want to go to this one and that one. I didn't want to, my life's goal wasn't to be a singer in nursing homes and a testifier in jails and things like that, Lord. But you know what? If we'll just let him bend us and use us any way he sees fit, we'll accomplish more than we could have ever imagined. Amen. My desire is, Lord, use me however you want to use me. Send me wherever you want to send me, even if it's some place that, you know, God used Joseph in jail there. And no doubt Joseph, his plan as a child wasn't, oh my, I want to grow up and be in jail so I can witness to a couple people in there. But God was proving to him that it wasn't about whether he was at the top of the kingdom or whether he's in the jailhouse or whether he was talked good about or whether he was talked evil about. The point was, if God was with him, it didn't matter where he was at or what he was doing, just to know that the presence of God was with him, he could recognize everything's going to be okay. Amen. Many times we glory in, well, I enjoy the good times, and I enjoy when the bank account's full, and I enjoy when I got health in my body, and I enjoy when I'm trying to witness to somebody that's actually getting it and is encouraged by what I'm saying. But sometimes when things are going the other direction, we begin to be discouraged. But God, just use us however you want to use us. Brother Ram says, in turning northward in 1961, he said, Kadesh Barnea, they made their most fatal mistake they ever did make. Here they had come up to the promised land, right to the borders of the promised land. I wonder how many times we sit in services and we come right up to the border of our healing. Or we come right up to the border of our deliverance. Or we come right up to the border of having enough faith for that backslidden loved one. Or we come right up to the border of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then the devil begins to creep in and say, oh, it's not for you. Or, oh, you'll never make it. Or, oh, they've gone too far. Or, he begins to come in and creep in and whisper. And, oh, you better not make a commitment to God because you might get out these doors and not be able to live up to it. He begins to creep in and he begins to drag us back. When we get right to the borders of the promised land. And here, these children of Israel, Joshua and Caleb, they would come back with a wonderful testimony. They would come back with the testimony that we're more than able. Let's go up and take the land. But the others said, oh my, there's giants and there's walled cities and there's obstacles in our way. But God never promised them it was going to be a picnic. It was going to be a battle. In fact, they were going to have to battle for every inch of ground that they possessed. But his promise was, thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. The promise was that you're more than able to take the land, but they began to look at the problems and the circumstances and the trials and the giants and the walls. And we think, how could they do it? They had been through a Red Sea and they had been delivered out of Egypt. How could they think that God couldn't deliver them from these Amalekites and Jebusites and Hittites and all the ites that there was out there? But yet God was more than able, but they begin to doubt the word of God. They begin to question, well, we just don't know. We would have been better off if we just died back in Egypt. And they were going to try to get themselves a captain to take them back to Egypt. But there was just one problem. They couldn't find a man besides Moses that was vindicated. They were trying to look for another man to follow, Brother Hoover, but they couldn't find anybody with a vindicated message for that day to follow back to Egypt. Oh my, so is it today. Israel and the Church, Part 4, 1953, said, perfect of the church today in our journeying. We're journeying up till I believe that the church is standing today at Kadesh Barnea judgment. And God would speak to him in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 22, and he would tell them, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him, he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. You notice it wasn't just for him, but it was to his children and to all those that were far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You see, he had a promise that it wasn't just that he would possess it, but that his seed should possess it as well. That it would be something once he got this mountain, it wasn't just going to be something temporary and then fade away, but it was going to be a mountain that his children would possess. It was going to be a mountain that his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren, that they would possess it down just as far as they could keep the same faith that their great-great-granddaddy Caleb had had. Oh my, and yet there were some that they would walk and they would see all that God had did. They would see the signs and the wonders and the miracles, but they would begin to question and they would begin to compromise and they would begin to pick what parts they liked of Moses' message and they would discard the parts that they didn't like. Spirits don't die, do they? Spirits don't die. Men die, Brother Bam said, but God takes his man, but not his spirit, and Satan takes his man, but not his spirit. And so we recognize that there's going to be the same spirit in the age today of these 10 that brought back a bad report. There's going to be the same spirit in the age today of a Jannes and Jambres that would withstand Moses. There's going to be a same spirit of a Dathan and a Korah and a Balaam and all these ones that would come against the ministry of that age. But yet there's going to be a Joshua and a Caleb that'll stand true to the word. Amen. There's going to be a type of those. There's going to be a vindicated prophet in the age. And there's going to be men that'll stand with that prophet regardless of who turns back and how many falls to the left or to the right. You see, there's something about a message. I was thinking about it the other day as I was reading my Bible. You know, the scripture says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. So make believer, unbeliever, believer, whatever it is, at some point, maybe at a judgment for some of them, but at some point, everybody is going to recognize that this is the truth. At some point, atheist, Buddhist, Muslim, Sikh, Jain, whatever they are, they're going to recognize at some point that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There will come a point in each person's life that has lived all down through the ages that they will recognize that this is the truth. It just depends on when they recognize it, what their end will be. Some wait too late to recognize it, and others recognize it, and they say, well, I see that, but I can't live it. And others say, well, I see that, but I don't understand it all. But there will be a group that no matter what comes or what goes, they will recognize by revelation not only what God did down through the ages, but what he did do and what he is doing and what he's going to do in this age. Amen. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So everybody's going to be a believer at some point. It's just sad that some will wait too late before they believe. You see, every vindicated prophet down through the age, you know, even Pharaoh, God had hardened his heart. And he would deny the works of God in his age. And he would deny that God had sent a prophet in that age. And he would come against the prophet. And he would disregard the words of the prophet. He would disregard the signs and wonders and the plagues. And God would keep hardening and hardening and hardening his heart. And then even down to the Red Sea after he had asked them to leave Egypt. Then God hardens his heart again. And they come back after the children of Israel. But you know what? As the waters begin to come in around him and cover him up, I believe Pharaoh recognized, you know what? This was a vindicated prophet after all. Dathan and Korah could have their complaints and, well, we want to be part of the priesthood, and why did you make your brother and his family part of the priesthood? It wasn't Moses that picked Aaron. It was God that picked Aaron. Amen. It wasn't Moses that said, hey, you know what? I'm going to go deliver God's people. He was out there a stuttering prophet on the backside of the desert, happy just to herd his sheep and inherit what his father-in-law was going to give him. But God came and commissioned Moses. Amen. Moses didn't pick Moses. Zipporah, she wouldn't have picked Moses. She thought, my husband, go and deliver all these people. They were both had a temper out on the backside of the desert arguing with one another. He can't even lead the sheep the way that I think he should lead him. How's he going to lead 2 million people? And yet God would use him. Didn't matter who thought that Moses was vindicated or not. God chose a vindicated prophet and vindicated him. Dathan and Korah could come against him, say, we have this argument and that argument. We didn't like the way you did this, and we didn't like the way you set this up. We think it'd be better to do this. Hey, we're all holy. We all want to have a part in this. And yet when the earth would begin to swallow them and their children up, and when the fire would come down and consume those that stood there and said, hey, we've got anointed censers too. We can stand here and be a part. But then when God came down and he lit Aaron and his children's censers and said, these are the ones that I've chosen to be the priesthood. And he came down with fire and licked up the rest of them. I wonder if Dathan and Korah stood there as the earth opened up and began to swallow them, as Moses had said the day before, if the earth doesn't do something that it's never done before and open and swallow these men, then call me a false prophet. Right. Amen. He didn't leave any room for doubt. He didn't leave any room for questioning. God laid it right out. Hey, I'm identifying who my prophet is. I'm identifying who the priesthood is. I'm identifying by signs and wonders those that are called and elected and ordained. No doubt Dathan and Korah became believers real quick as the earth closed in around them, but it was too late. Right. Acts chapter 2, verse 28, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It was a promise. Just like Caleb's mountain, it was a promise that they could have this. It was not something that God was going to force upon them, but it was something that if they would repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if they would come God's provided way, then God would come and honor his word. Questions and Answers, 1959. Brother Bram tells us Canaan is a type of the Holy Ghost. Egypt is the world that they come out of. The wilderness is where they were sanctified, called out church. Canaan is where they settled down with the Holy Spirit. See, because they still had wars. And if you don't believe you have wars, just get the Holy Spirit once. He says, what are you doing? What do they do in Canaan? They were possessing their rights. He said glory. They were possessing their rights, and they could not possess their rights till they got into Canaan. They didn't own nothing in the wilderness. Then when they come into Canaan, then they had rights. And we've got rights when you receive the Holy Ghost, you're in Canaan. You have to fight for it. Every inch of ground, you have to fight for it. God didn't invite us to a picnic. Amen. God didn't invite us that everything would be easy. He didn't promise us a perfect church or a perfect people, but he said that he would give us the land. He would give us the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it was for you and for your children, all those as many as are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. But you don't own anything until you enter the promised land. Amen. They didn't own anything out there in the wilderness. Here they were. They'd have to set up camp and then break it down and move. They didn't own one bit of land out there. But once they begin to enter into Canaan's land, those footsteps meant possessions. And they would go and they would take a view of the land. And this one would go over here and say, my, I want this land over here. Joshua would say, you know what? That's right. Moses told me to give that part of land to Judah and this part of land to Benjamin and this part of land over here to Issachar and to Naphtali and all the different tribes. But you know what? There's some people, there's some squads that have moved in there on your rights. There's some squatters that have moved in there on your territory. Some of them are giants. Some of them have walled cities. Some of them have chariots. But you know what? God promised it to you. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, there's things standing in my way. The doctor said this, and you don't know my family condition, and you don't know how far gone my children are, and you don't know the situation with this friendship over here, and you don't know how this person hurt me at this other church, and I've got so many scars, and I've got so many things in my way, but God promised you the land. Amen. You might have to fight for every inch of it. You might have to fight through doubt. You might have to fight through depression. And you may have to fight through anxiety and the lie of the devil telling you you'll never make it. But I want to remind him this morning, he's a liar and the father of it. Amen. And I take God at his word. We're more than able to take the land. Amen. You say, well, but my children, Brother Nathan, you're more than able to apply the token over your home. Amen. You're more than able to claim those children. My, and then some of the young people, they think, well, you know, I've done things mom and dad don't even know about, and I guess God just has given up on me, and I've ran too far. That's what the devil wants you to think. That's what the devil wants you to think, but you're more than able. Amen. The devil comes and he plants things in your mind and he tries to upset and he tries to plague you with spirits and temptations and he tries to fight you with memories of days gone by and maybe those days were just a few days ago and you think, oh God, how can I even sit here in church this morning? When, Lord, you know what I did last week and you know what I did last month. And Lord, how could you ever forgive me? He is more willing. He wants to help you more than you want to be helped. Amen. Anybody want help this morning? Amen. I need help this morning. Amen. Every time I walk up these steps anymore, before I come out, I stand on that stairwell and I say, Lord, I need you again. Amen. I can't do this without you, Lord. I need you this morning. We each one need him. Every one of us need him. Amen. But you don't have to live in the condition that maybe Satan has tried to place you in. You don't have to live bound. You don't have to live defeated. You don't have to live discouraged. You don't have to live with addictions. You don't have to live just constantly falling to temptation after temptation. You can live a victorious life, but you're going to have to fight your way through some things. Amen. You're going to have to fight your way through some prayer time and maybe the devil try to interrupt you every way he can. The phone ringing and this one knocking on the door and this one trying to get you to go here and there. But you're going to have to fight through and say, no, I promised God I'd spend this time with him today and I'm going to do it. Amen. I promised God that I would pray through and I try to give these things to him that I'm unable to overcome. But you know what? He's already overcome them for us. He's already overcome them. And yet we sit there and we try to, Lord, if I could just be a little better, then I'd get baptized. And if I could just do this, then I would be all right. And if I could just do this, then I would be accepted. No, you come to him with a repentant heart and say, Lord, I've tried. I've tried to live the way the message says, and I've tried to live the way my daddy and my mommy says, and I've tried to do this, and I've tried to do that, and I come up a failure every time. So, Lord, I'm tired of trying. I'm going to give it to you. Amen. I'm going to let you do the work. I'm going to keep laying it at your feet every day. Maybe there's something, a little besetting sin that it knocks you down every day. And you get up and you're determined, I'm going to do good. I'm going to take this mountain. I'm going to be an overcomer. And the rug gets swept out from under your feet again. There you fall and you think, well, I've already done this much. I might as well just give this day up. No, that's the devil wants you to think thoughts like that. The devil wants you to quit. The devil wants you to be hopeless. He wants you to think that there's no way. But he's a liar. God has a provided way, and he didn't promise us that there wouldn't be temptations, but he promised that with the temptation, he would also bring a way of escape. Amen. The problem is we spend so much time looking at the temptation sometimes instead of looking for the way of escape. It's there if you'll just take the time to look. Brother Branham begins to talk about these, the type of the ten that would fall away, and he says in the church age book, he says, they have no power, for they stopped short of Pentecost. They are like the children of Israel who came out of Egypt and stopped short of the promised land. Now those children of Israel left Egypt about 2 million strong. They all journeyed together, all saw the same miracles of God, all partook of the same manna and water from the smitten rock, and all followed the same cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. But only two reached the promised land. Only two were true or real believers. That is correct, because the word tells us that the rest died because of unbelief, and because of unbelief they could not enter in, Hebrews chapter 3 verse 19. Then since that is so and only two entered, then the rest were not true believers. What made the difference? Two stayed with the word. When the hearts of the 10 spies failed at Kadesh Barnea, Joshua and Caleb did not stagger, for they believed the word and said, we are more than able to take the land. They knew they could because God had said, I have given you the land. After all, those Israelites saw the power of God and goodness and deliverance of God. They did not enter into rest, which is a type of the Holy Ghost. So you can see right now that very few will ever believe all the way to receiving the Spirit of God. Oh my, we receive an idea. Many times we receive a doctrine, or we receive, well, this is the way that I'm going to live, or these are the rules that I have to follow. But, you know, Satan will beat you around the stump over that and over trying to keep rules and over trying to go by your emotions. Well, I feel good today, and I'm an overcomer today, and I'm defeated tomorrow, and, I'm on the mountaintop today, and then I'm down in the valley tomorrow. But you know what the problem is with most people? They haven't fully gone into Canaan's land. Oh, they'll be in a service and the presence of God will move and they'll tiptoe around the borderlands. Oh my, it was good to feel his presence. Oh my, did you see him heal sister so-and-so? Did you see what he was doing over in this corner and over in that corner? And they begin to feel an anointing come. They rejoice in the anointing. Maybe God heals their body and they rejoice in that. But they'll come right up to the edge of the borderland of Canaan. They'll even maybe tip their toe in a little bit and begin to feel the waters. But I don't know if I could give up this part of my lifestyle, and I don't know if I have enough faith that God could forgive me for this thing back in my past, and I don't know if I'm ready. I haven't sowed enough wild oats yet. I'd like to do this and I'd like to do that, and I don't know if I'm ready to just fully commit myself to God. Oh, don't let the devil keep you out of the promised land. Amen. Don't let him keep you out of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Maybe some of you say, well, I knelt at an altar one time and I accepted him and I think I got it. Well, I think so, but won't make it. Amen. These men had gone over, Brother Hoover, they had tasted the grapes. They had seen the land, what it was like. They had experienced, they had had an encounter of what the Holy Ghost would be like, but they had never fully committed to say, I'm going to take this mountain. I'm going to take this land. This is mine. It's my possession. And oh, what a way to live, to have come over and have tasted of the grapes. And then to say, oh my, it was wonderful. My, the presence of God in church the other night, it was just wonderful. My, to feel him come down and see souls at the altar and see this and that, but I don't know if I could give up my favorite television show, and I don't know if I could give up these cigarettes, and I don't know if I could stop puffing on these e-cigarettes and this thing and that thing. And I don't know if I could give up looking at the wrong things and thinking the wrong things. I don't know if I'm ready to give up some of these things. Oh, don't tiptoe around the border of Canaan's land. The problem with most people around the message is they've never went fully into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so you see him one week and, oh, bless God, wasn't that a good service? And oh, my, wasn't this wonderful? And then you see him the next week and somebody's treated him wrong and somebody's hurt their feelings and they're ready to give up and walk away. And, well, I guess I'll just never make it. I just don't know. I get upset so easy. And, well, of course you do, because you still got your old carnal nature. Of course you get upset because you're still dwelling on the things of the world. And you're still dwelling on, oh, poor pitiful me, and looking at yourself. But once the Holy Spirit begins to come, he'll turn your thoughts upward. Amen. It'll be thoughts of him and thoughts of Lord. Not just how does this affect me, but Lord, what is your will? What does your word say? Lord, what would be pleasing to you? But we focus on, well, does it make me feel good or does it not make me feel good? You know, I was at church the other day and you know, he preached all over me. And he played a tape where Brother Bram said some things that just stepped on my toes. And, you know, it wasn't very fun being in church. And I just don't know. I don't know if I want to go back if it's not fun all the time. Well, you might as well just stop then, because it's not going to be fun all the time. Amen. But there's something about it. The word is sharp and powerful. It begins to cut off parts of us that's unpleasing to God. It begins to circumcise the hearts, and it begins to discern the intents of the heart, and it begins to come right down where we're living, and it begins to trim away some of the things that's unpleasing to him, and that's painful sometimes, you know. Surgery is painful. Amen. But sometimes it's needed. Sometimes we have services and everybody's ready to shout and run through a troop and leap over a wall. And then some services you look out and you feel like people's ready to crawl under a pew and get ready, run out to their car and get in the car and go home. And you know, there's different types of services. There's different types of ways that the Holy Spirit begins to move. But I just pray that he would move. I don't care how he moves or who he uses or whatever it be. Just move, Holy Spirit, in our midst. Take control of our thoughts and our desires. Change us into what you would have us to be. Does God ever change his mind about his word? 1965, he said, but what happened? Balaam, he succeeded in weakening Israel. What did he do? He weakened their camp. God let him go and weakened their camp, and it polluted the whole camp. And when some doctrine starts that's not the Bible truth, it pollutes the whole camp. You see, that's why we need to stick with truth. I was having a conversation with a brother the other day, and he was talking to me about some cultural things that, you know, different people, they have things that, well, we don't do this, and that's just our culture, or we do this, and it's just our culture. And, you know, if the devil won't run you one direction and run you wild with that, he'll run you the other direction. If he won't make you do something that's contrary to the word, and you say, well, my family, we grew up doing this, and you know, it's just a cultural thing with our family. And I know the word kind of teaches against that, but, you know, Brother Trevor preached a sermon one time on, does your culture degrade your truth? And so if culture is contrary to the word of God, then we should lay our culture down and embrace the word. Amen. Because we're not of this kingdom. We're not, you know, Americans or Africans or Europeans or Asians. We're of another kingdom. Amen. Whose builder and maker is God. Amen. I want to live by his laws, and I want to come under his ways, and I want my culture, if I have any culture at all, may it be the culture of the word that comes down and begins to quicken me and change me. And then if he won't run you into sin that way, then we'll begin to bring things that we begin to teach our children that they shouldn't do, or they should live this certain way or whatever, and it's just something cultural that's not in the word, but we put that as a yoke around them. And if we're not careful, we become like the Pharisees, and we begin to say, now you wash the pots this certain way and wash your hands and do this and do that, and then your child comes to you sometimes and says, did Brother Branham teach us that? Is that in the script? Well, no, that's just something that we do, and we think you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that, but there's not really any scripture. It's just kind of how our family is. And what did Jesus say? You, by your traditions of man, have made the word of God none effect. Amen. So whether it rubs me the wrong way or the right way, or whether it's the way I'm just naturally inclined to be or not, I want to come God's way. I want to come the way of the word. If I'm going to put my foot down and say, look, in this home, we do it this way, I want to be able to take my family back to the scriptures and the message and show them why we do it that way. Oh my, when some doctrine starts that's not the Bible truth, it pollutes the whole camp. Somebody raise up with a different idea like Korah and say, well, this, that, and the other, and I got a different idea. It pollutes the whole camp. And that's what's done the whole church camp today. That's right, teaching as he did, weakening the whole camp for Kadesh Barnea, the word showdown. That's why so many have been so easy to get the rug sweep right out from under them and then fall flat on their face and walk away from the message when some of these questions come up about the message, because they've been taught stories and fables and brother so-and-so said this, that, and the other. And when you go back and you search the word, it's not actually there, and it doesn't have any power, and it's not quickening, and it doesn't have keeping power to hold you. But I want to say the word of God for this age, if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to come and quicken it, it's not just a saving power, it's not just a filling power, but it's a keeping power. Amen. Let's get these children back to the word and not mommy or daddy or your ex-pastor's idea or somebody that, you know, fished with Brother Branham once upon a time. They think we should do it this way or that way. There is no quickening power in those things. Amen. It might be okay as a testimony, but the word is what keeps us. The Spirit quickening the word in our life. Oh, we need to be prepared for these showdowns when the word is, it becomes a showdown. You better make sure you're standing on word and not on somebody's opinion. Because when somebody challenges you and you don't have word to back it up, you'll look like a fool. Well, I always heard it this way, and Brother so-and-so always quoted this, but I went to the message and I searched it, and Brother Branham didn't really say it that way. Well, shame on you for not have checking before somebody called you out on it. Balaam's teaching weakened the whole camp, that when they came up for the Kadesh Barnea word showdown, they were already weakened. They were already had this mentality in their mind that, well, you know, we're just not sure about all this. We got some questions and we got some things. He said when they got to Kadesh Barnea, then the weakening of the camp, they come back. They had went right after. Remember, they had eat eagles' food, angels' food, rather. They had eat angels' food. They had the word of God every night made manifest. And they eat the food, they drink from the rock, they did all this, all seen the miracles, they watched Moses and seen his words, seen his prophecies, everything. And then finally, when they listened to this false teacher come in among them and teach wrong, he weakened the camp and prospered by it. We think, oh my, well, bless God, we're in the message. Yeah, so were these 2 million people. They had come out and was following a prophet of God too. But false teachers would get sent in around them that would begin to question, well, you know, we just don't know if this part over here is anointed or not. And we don't know part of this over here. We just think Brother Branham was teaching that because of the culture of the 60s. And this part over here, you know, we just think that was the man speaking. And that wasn't, you know, oh, and God anointed you to be able to pick and choose. Okay. All right. So we've seen his vindication. We've heard about the 7 truckloads of wheelchairs and crutches in Africa. And we've heard about the 500,000 in India and the showdown with all the religions of the world. And we've heard the testimonies of the boy raised in Finland and 10 times that the dead was raised in his ministry. And we've seen eyewitnesses that were there and saw those things and heard those things and saw legs come out that were shorter than the other and saw heads of babies that were swollen out like this go down to normal size within a couple of days. And we've seen, you know, people that testified of being delivered of alcoholism when everybody else had give up on them. And we've seen lives change, and we've seen all these vindications. So where is your vindication? What have you done? I developed a website. Yeah, I got a lot of stuttering prophets now too, but the problem is they're not vindicated. We heard this, and Brother so and so said this, and no vindication. No life behind it. No true character of the word. Oh, they want to run back to the world and back to their denominations. Why do they do it? If they have something so much better, why don't they have something to take us into that's forward? Because there's nothing forward except eternity. Amen. The next step past 7, you see, you step right back into 8, which is back around to the first day, back into eternity again. Amen. They have nowhere forward to take us, so the only place they can take us is backward, and they don't even have any of their own vindication to take us that way. Well, we think this is easier. Oh, it is easier. Amen. The path to hell is very easy. It's broad and it's easy, but that's the path that leads to destruction. But the path that leads to glory is a narrow path, and few there be that follow. Amen. I'm following a vindicated prophet. You can follow what you want, but I'm going to follow a vindicated prophet. Amen. I'm not interested in following debaters and arguers and gainsayers and people that want to try to dig up dirt on a man that even those that turned away from him and criticized him and disagreed with his doctrines, they never attacked his character. Ern Baxter, you can go watch him on YouTube. Here he was, one of Brother Branham's managers, and he said, oh my, well, Brother Branham walked in all the light that he saw. And I thought, oh, Ern, if you could have just walked in some of that light, you'd been a lot better off. But he didn't attack his character. He didn't attack the visions. In fact, many of those men said they were of the thousands of times they saw it. It was never wrong. Now, can you imagine walking away from something? And if you had something, you know, you'd think you would have shared it with somebody, but no. But now that he's not here to defend himself, and now that most of the eyewitnesses are dead, now we get some gainsayers that want to come up and criticize. And we find ourselves at Kadesh Barnea again. It's deciding time. Faith, 1953. Now, here it is. I want you to see it. I believe the church of the living God has come now to Kadesh Barnea. I believe we're at the judgment seat. Now, just before crossing over, let's not make that same mistake that they made. Let's not make the mistake that they made. We can look back in history and we can see how there were vindicated prophets down through the ages, and Noah would come with a message that was ridiculous to the scientific world, and there would be some that would sit there for a while and then they'd get tired of hearing the same thing over and over, and well, you know, all Moses or all Noah teaches about, he's just God's sending a rain and let's get in the boat and asking us to help him build this boat, and we're tired of hearing that after all these years. We're going to go find us something else. But yet when the rains begin to fall, they begin to realize real quick, this was a vindicated prophet. And they begin to knock on the door and said, Noah, let us in. Noah didn't shut the door. How could he let them in? Oh, we were wrong, Noah. We shouldn't have went on some of these websites, and we shouldn't have made fun. We shouldn't have left the church. We shouldn't have did this. Let us in. But it was too late. We can see the importance of following a vindicated prophet. We can see it in Moses' day. They would come up to Kadesh and two would say, we can take the land just like Moses said we could take it. And the rest would say, we'll take the witness of the 10. You know, this is the majority after all, but one with God is the majority, remember? And they took the negative witness of the 10 and God said, that's fine. These little ones that you was afraid that was going to die, that's 21 years and younger, that aren't able to go out to war and things, they're going to be the ones that take the land. And you that was so afraid that you couldn't take it, too afraid that my word wasn't strong enough to keep you, you're going to die, every one of you in the wilderness. Your carcass is out here. And what are they doing today? Spiritually dying. And all you have to do is just watch their life for about 6 months. And once they walk out from the light and they walk out from the truth, how can you live the truth when you don't have any truth? And you begin to see their life and their actions and the way they treat people and the way they do and the things that they focus on. They begin to let down the bars here and let down the bars there, because if there's no truth, there's no standard to hold up. I thank God for an absolute. Oneness of Unity, 1958, this is a choosing time. You cannot stand neutral any longer. You may leave before the message is over, but you can't go out that door the same person you come in. That's right. You'll cross that threshold tonight either a better person or a more evil person than you was when you entered. You can't help it. It's up to you to make a decision. Now notice, it's a choosing time. You can't be neutral. It's a choosing time. You must choose you this day whom you're going to serve. And the devil has presented many things glamorous that you can choose if you wish to. It's choosing time. We don't stand neutral and begin to baby and pet spirits and, well, poor brother so-and-so, you know, he was so hurt and so he's just got disillusioned and he goes out here and he begins to attack some of these things. And I just feel so sorry for him. And you see people that baby and pet that and those same spirits jump on them. And really, if they'd be honest with themselves, it was because they wanted to go out and live that way anyhow. But they had to try to find an excuse, because they couldn't just be man or woman enough to say, no, I'd rather cut my hair than follow the truth. Or I'd rather wear my shorts than follow the truth. Or I'd rather go back to my beer and my Jack Daniels than follow the truth. If they'd just be honest, they'd be a lot better off. The waters of separation, 1955, they come up. And in my opinion, the church tonight is at the stage of the old church age at Kadesh Barnea, where they're wandering about after refusing to walk in the light. They wonder about, well, we tried this denomination and it was dead, and we tried that denomination and we didn't agree with their teachings, and we tried this over here and we tried that over there, and they're wondering about because they've refused to walk in the light. Now Jesus, when he was on earth, they came to him, the Pharisees and the teachers and the scribes, and they began to ask him by what authority he did these things. By what authority? We see you healing on the Sabbath day, and we see you raising the dead. And we say, by what authority do you do these things? And Jesus, in St. Mark's Gospel, the first chapter, he turned around and he began to ask them a question. He said, I'll answer you that if you'll answer my question. He said, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And oh, they begin to get real quiet. And they begin to get real concerned because they recognize, well, if we say that it was just of men, then he's going to turn around and say, well, if it was of men, then how did he do all these things that he did? And the people believe he was a prophet. But if we say it was of God, he's going to say, well, why didn't you follow him then? And so they wouldn't answer him. He said, well, then neither do I answer you what authority I do this in. Amen. So for anybody that wants to go away and say all these things, we couldn't answer this question, we couldn't figure this out, and we didn't like this part over here, and we had this idea and that idea, and somebody posed a question that we couldn't answer, I would like to pose them the question for all their answers and questions and things that they have. The ministry of William Branham, was it of God or was it just something of man? Oh, it was just of man, brother. It was just a phony. It was just an imitation. Oh, well, then how was the dead raised 10 times? And how was the newspapers in Durban, South Africa, filled with healings and miracles? And even the own mayor, his friends, the friend of the mayor had died. And he called Brother Branham on the phone and said, Brother Branham, this friend of ours has died. Would you pray? And Brother Branham prayed, and the mayor of Durban, South Africa's friend was raised from the dead. And Gordon Lindsay, in the beginning, the little introduction to Man Sent from God, if you go back and read it, he would say that Bible days were here again, and that this man was a prophet. He said, because with no question, with no doubt, he is a prophet. And he said, if these things had not been so thoroughly documented, one would have a right to think that they were unbelievable. But because they had been so thoroughly documented, there would be no way to refute it. A man that turned against him. A man that didn't like, you know, because of church politics and because of the dollar bill and because he wanted to have his bigger magazines and all these different things. He turned away from it. That's what he said about it. Was it of God or was it of man? If it wasn't of God, then explain to me all the things. I have about 20,000 questions to your 5 to ask you how God did all these things through a man that wasn't sent from God, if that's your argument. And if it was of God, then why don't you hush your mouth and get behind it? God wouldn't trust a deceiver with the type of gift that he trusts him with. No way. God doesn't work like that. God doesn't operate like that. You say, well, what about Judas? He was anointed. Not like that, he wasn't. Not like that. Balaam was anointed too, but not like Moses. Demas was anointed too, but not like Paul. Putting on the whole armor of God, 1962, he came to Kadesh Barnea, to his Kadesh Barnea. He's talking about Jesus. It's called Calvary. There not only was he judged, but he was judged for you and I. He took the sins of Adam, and there he stood the judgment, crossed over the river of Jordan of death. But on the third day, he come back. What was he? Bringing the evidence. Like Joshua, he brought the evidence that the land's real. A man lives after death. Hallelujah. Man lives after he dies. There's been somebody that's gone on and it has brought back evidence. This land is real. Amen. There, once we die, we live again. Amen. The believer doesn't die. They sleep. They just go to sleep in Christ Jesus, and they open their eyes in another dimension, more alive than they've ever been. Oh, we could try to understand it and scratch at it and peck at it, but in this age, a man went beyond the curtain and came back and described what it was like. He brought back an evidence. You want to let the devil keep you out of that land? You go right ahead. But I'm doing everything I can to press the mark and to be able to be there, Brother Jimmy, and see my grandmother that's gone on and shake her hand in a young 18-year-old body. Amen. When she left Brother David, her memory had gone. Her ability to speak from strokes and things was gone. And she'd take a hairbrush and beat it on a little table there to try to get to express what to say to you. And her body was failing and broken, and her mind was broken. But yet one step, one breath out of one body into another, and there she was, young and healthy. No more memory problems. No more trouble with speech. No more hunched over, barely able to hobble around and get around. Oh my, don't you recognize there's a land that's waiting for us? Amen. Some have brought back a good report. Amen. This brother's already went beyond once and come back, and he doesn't have to fear death because he already knows it's not that big a deal. Amen. He doesn't have to fear it. He came back and was healed. His body was healed. Just a glimpse. We get little glimpses of the land. We see people come to an altar and feel the presence of God and their life change. That's just a little glimpse of that land. We see somebody come up with back trouble and curved spines and cancers on their heads, and the cancer dissolved and the spine turned straight, and doctor's statements and pictures to prove it. And that's just a glimpse. But it hasn't entered into the heart of man what it'll be. Amen. But we've had some witnesses that have come back and told us the land's there and it's good. And so you have to decide this morning. The decision is in your lap. Are we going to go? Or are we going to wander around the borderland? I just don't know if I can do it or not. Joshua chapter 14 verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Now I'm running out of time and I'm trying to get through the rest of this, but I have to stop here just a moment. And we could take hours and talk about some of the things that the man of God of this age said about thee and about me in this age, that we could be more than overcomers. Amen. That we could live in revival. Amen. That there was healing for your body. That the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God would bring it to pass. That when you got the Holy Ghost, the rapture is in you now. That you are the rapture. That you don't have to be afraid of missing a rapture. He said you was an eagle. Amen. He said you'd eat eagle's food. And my, we could just go on and on and on about the things. He said there'd be a bride that would make herself ready. Brother Jimmy, he was saying that about me and thee. Amen. Remember some of the things that this man of God said concerning thee and me. He said, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Now him and Joshua, they came back with a testimony in their heart and shared what they had, and the other 10 was at least honest enough to come back and share what was in their heart too, but it was two very different reports. He said, Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly follow the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 84 years old, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, wherefore the Lord spake in that day. Here he is, 85 years old, Brother Hoover, and every day here they've been wandering for 40 years in the wilderness, and finally they begin to take some of the land, and they would go over and they would take some of the land on this side of Jordan, and then Joshua would tell the people, look, you want to stay on this side of the Jordan, that's okay, but you're coming with us to fight for the rest of the land. And they'd cross over Jordan and they'd take this part, and Caleb would go and he'd be out there sharpening that sword, Brother Jimmy. And he'd go out and he'd help somebody else, encourage them in their battle, and encourage them to take their land. And oh, brother, you can do it. Sister, you can do it. I was there. I saw the land. Let's go take some land. Let's take back your children. Let's take back your health. Let's take back your peace. Let's take back your joy. Oh, man, you get out there the next day. Who can we help today? Who can we encourage today? The brother so-and-so, he's got a vineyard over here that's the next spot on the journey, the next little spot. Let's go help him take that. And he'd go out that day, and here he is, 85 years old. Glory to God. I feel just as good as I did 45 years ago when Joshua and Moses and I stood there and everybody else with a negative report, and I said, we're more than able to take the land. And I might be 45 years older, but I'm just as much of a believer today as I was back then. Finally, he got tired. Joshua, I helped the Benjamites take their land. I helped this one take their land and that one take their land. You know that mountain that I told you about that I'd walked over and put my foot on and said, I'm claiming this one for me. Amen. This is my mountain. He said, I can just see it in the distance there. And through the fog, I saw the peak of it the other day. He said, we're in about a day's journey. About a day's walk, and I helped you take this land, I helped you take that land, but look, today is my day. Amen. May this morning be your morning. Amen. Maybe you saw somebody come and get the Holy Ghost. You thought, praise God, they needed it. And you saw this one come and get their healing. You said, thank God for healing them. And you saw this one get a job. And you saw this one, find the right mate. And you saw this one's family get better. And you saw this one's friendship restored. And you said, oh, praise God, I can rejoice with them. And I can encourage them to stay with the Word. But today is my day. Amen. I'm going to take this mountain. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Amen. Oh, but there's giants in the way, and there's troubles, and there's heartache, and there's this, and there's that, and there's disappointment, and all these things that the devil places in your way. Oh, but if God be with us, like he promised he'd be with us, we're more than able to take the land. Amen. Joshua chapter 15, verse 13, and unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even to the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai, the children of Anak. Giants. Three giants. We hear about David slaying one giant. This man goes out and he slays three sons of this giant that was standing in his way. And no doubt, you know, maybe he didn't grow up as a little boy thinking, one day I want to grow up and I want to slay giants. Maybe you didn't grow up thinking, I want to battle with devils and with spiritual wickedness in high places and with principalities and powers, evil thoughts and temptations. Maybe you didn't think that was what it was going to be, but then you came up against them and you recognized, you know what? Those things have crept in on my inheritance. Those things have crept in on my possession, and I've got the Holy Ghost. I'm in Canaan's land, and I'm taking back my rights as a child of God. I'm taking back my inheritance. Fear has crept in and tried to keep it away from you. Doubt has crept in and tried to keep it away from you. All unbelief and compromisers and people that have hurt you and disillusioned you and different things that you get distracted looking at has tried to hold you back. But why don't you take your mountain this morning? Kadesh, at Kadesh Barnea, 1956, Brother Branham says, we're at Kadesh Barnea, and God's word said we can take it. God's word said we can have a revival. God's word said he'd raise up in the last day all these other signs and wonders, and he's done it. Amen. He's done it. Amen. You don't have to wonder, can I live in revival? Amen. A believer can live in revival every day. You don't have to wait for revival. Your life can be the revival. Amen. Regardless of what's going on around you. Brother Bram said, you ever get around some people and they're just always on the mountaintop regardless of what's going on? Amen. You can take that mountain. Amen. Maybe Satan, you know, he throws you something at you and you get discouraged and you find yourself talking negative, and then you think, oh my, I remember what Brother Bram said about never have a negative confession, always have a positive confession. I remember what Brother Nathan said about keeping those affirmations before us of saying good things and positive things and reading these scriptures of we're more than able and fear not and all these things. And I need to just lay that aside, and you overcome that, and then the devil throws something else in your lap the next day. And, oh my, now what about this, Lord? You begin to get worried and discouraged, but I want to tell you this morning, you're more than able. Amen. Whatever you're facing, whatever the devil has placed in your path, whatever doubt or question or worry, you're more than able to take that mountain. that's in your way. Amen. Why? Because we're super, we're some super duper something, some spiritual? No, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater was the God that Caleb served than the giant that was on his mountain. Amen. Greater was the God that he was following. Greater was the vindicated message of his day than all the trials and all the persecutions and all the others that were walking around saying that we can't take it, and all the other battles and journeys and 40 years in the wilderness. Greater was what he was following than all those things. And I want to say this morning, it's the same for us as believers of the Word of God. Amen. Whatever you face, it's not bigger than God. It might be big. I'm not trying to belittle your problems or belittle whatever you're facing, but it's not as big as our God. Amen. It's not as big as his word. It's not bigger than his promises. Amen. Amen. Why don't you take your mountain this morning? Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know there's many things that stand in the way of your people. Things that have maybe held them back. Maybe a real child of God, but maybe at a young age something happened and discouraged them and got them on the wrong path. Or maybe some mistake that they did. The devil's beat them up about it and holds it over their head and they can't seem to let it go and lay it down. Maybe some hurt that someone else has done them. They can't forgive that person and it holds them back because your word said unless we can forgive, then you wouldn't forgive us, Father. Lord, may they lay these things down this morning. Lord, maybe it's something that maybe it's a temptation or a besetting sin that keeps dragging them back, that keeps robbing their victory. Oh, Lord, may they recognize this morning. May they pick up the sword of the word and the shield of faith. May they walk forward, Lord, with courage and with boldness and with confidence that he who gave the promise is more than able to perform. That he who promised he'd give them the baptism of the Holy Ghost if they'd repent and be baptized, if they'll fully come and have a full repentance, not just to ask him to forgive us and I'm sorry, but a turning of ways, Lord. If they'd come and repent and enter into the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, that you'd fill them with the Holy Ghost. That they don't have to live a defeated life. That they don't have to live a halfway Christian life or as a compromiser. That they don't have to tiptoe around the edges of the borderland of the promise, Lord. But they can enter. They can live a life of victory. They can live a life consecrated to you. Lord, maybe the devil's tried to rob them of their health or tried to rob them of their family, tried to rob them of some loved one that's out in the world, Lord. Tried to rob them of their victory. Tried to rob them of peace and joy in their life. Oh, God, may they take back their inheritance this morning. May they stand boldly on the word and say, I'm not going to live a defeated life anymore. Lord, may they take back that mountain that stands in their way. Oh, Lord. May they accept it as their inheritance this morning. May they lay aside every doubt, every fear, everything that holds them back, everything that tells them the giant is too big, the battle is too hard, you'll never make it. Oh, God, may they lay down everything that somebody has told them to discourage them, every question that's held them back. Lord, may they receive it this morning. May they lay everything else aside and enter into that promised land of the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their life. Lord, maybe they've already been baptized by your Spirit. Maybe they've been filled, Lord, but discouragements of life has robbed the joy of their salvation. Lord, may you give them a fresh refilling this morning. May you quicken your word to their hearts. May it be more than just a Bible story out of the Old Testament, Lord, but may it be a living reality that we're more than able. Whatever stands in our way, God can make us victorious. Help us, Father. Give us the faith of Caleb. Lord, may we stand and take our mountain this morning in Jesus Christ's name. Oh, we've been made more than conquerors. Overcomers in this life. Oh, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, we've been made more than conquerors. Overcomers in this life. Oh, if you're tired of living defeated, why don't you come up here? Kneel around the altar and say, Lord, I'm tired of living this way. I give it to you this morning. Lord, I'm going to take my mountain. I'm tired of going on without my victory. I want to get my victory back. Oh, we've been made more than conquerors. Overcomers. Some of the young people, maybe Satan's tried to tell you, you can't make it. You can't make it in this age. There's too much that withstands you. Oh, you couldn't lay this down, or you couldn't lay that down, or God couldn't forgive you of this or that. Oh, why don't you remind the devil he's a liar this morning? Oh, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made. Yes, Lord. Oh, it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes, he's
draw me close, close, Lord, to you. Just let the world around me, let it fade away.
You just be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. You don't have to be honest with me. You don't have to come up and confess to me. I'm not your priest. But be honest with yourself this morning. If there's something that's standing in your way, I'd encourage you, don't walk out of here with it. Leave it here. Leave it at the altar. You don't have to be up here at these steps unless the Lord's impressing it on your heart. If He is, then I'd encourage you, don't let what somebody else thinks keep you from it. You can make your pew an altar. Amen. But don't leave. Don't leave with that giant. Don't pack it around with you. Don't leave with that thing that's keeping you out of the promised land. Don't leave with that thing that's keeping you away from your victory, that's keeping you away from that peace that God wants you to have. Maybe you've packed it around with you all your life. Hurts and disappointments and I can't do this and I can't overcome that and little secret besetting sins or whatever it would be. You've packed it with you here and you packed it with you there, but why don't you leave it at the feet of Jesus this morning? Anything that's going to keep you out of the promised land, anything that's going to rob you of your victory or your joy or your peace, amen, don't keep packing that thing around with you. Lay it at the feet of Jesus this morning. Say, Lord, I'm tired of living this way. I want to take that mountain that you have for me. I'm tired of Satan robbing me of my inheritance. I want to take it back this morning in the name of Jesus. It's my desire to worship and obey. Let's sing it together this morning.
take my life as a living sacrifice. Lord, all my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands. I give myself.
Peace I have, dear Lord.
just a few days of trouble. A wise man once said, Lord, but I'll not complain, 'cause I'm sheltered, I'm clothed, and I'm fed. Oh, but many's the trial, my wants, my dreams put me through, and the only real peace I have, dear Lord. Why don't we stand and sing it to him this morning? Oh, the only real peace I have, dear Lord, it's in you. Yes, Jesus. Oh, the only real peace I have. The higher I've soared in my dreams, Lord, the harder I fall. And sometimes I wonder if my dreams are worth dreaming at all. Lord, but my they can't keep me blinded and blue. Oh, not when I'm reminded of that sweet peace I have, Lord, in you. Just worshiping this morning. Oh, the only real peace I have, dear Lord, is in you. Oh, the only real peace I have, dear Lord, it's in you. Yes, Jesus. All life's frustration, oh, I need you, Lord. Sing it to him again together. Aren't you thankful for that peace that passes understanding? Oh, the only real peace I have, dear Lord, is in you. Thank you, Father. The only real peace I have. Spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. You weren't born
Revival has battled this song since the moment it came to be. But I felt led last weekend while listening to Brother Nathan preach to sing this. The Lord laid this little chorus on my heart back in September or a little later. Brother Trevor was preaching Press the Mark, and this little thought came to me, and I pushed it aside, and it just kept coming. So I just put this little chorus together, and I pray that if you have a mountain, that the Lord would help you take it. So you help me out here. Got up this morning, did all this on my computer, and left it all at home. Had to retype everything here at church, so God knows. So hopefully this will show up here. Amen. I'm gonna take back my mountain, 'cause the Lord said it's mine. I'm gonna take back my mountain, 'cause the Word says it's time. I'm gonna take back my mountain, 'cause the Lord gave it to me. I'm gonna take back my mountain, 'cause the Lord delivered me. I'm gonna take back my mountain, raise up a standard today. I'm gonna take back my mountain, 'cause that's God's provided way. I'm gonna take back my mountain, get out my sword and fight. I'm gonna take my mountain, 'cause the Word says it's right. I'm gonna take back my mountain. Oh, that's what Caleb said. I'm gonna take back my mountain and slay those giants dead. I'm gonna take back my mountain and press towards the mark. I'm gonna take back my mountain. I'm gonna do my part. I'm gonna take back my mountain, raise up a standard today. I'm gonna take back my mountain, that's God's provided way. I'm gonna take back mountain, get out my sword and fight. I'm gonna take back my mountain, 'cause the Word says it's right. Oh, I'm gonna take back my mountain, 'cause the Lord gave it to me. I'm gonna take back my mountain, 'cause the Lord knew. Oh, I'm gonna take back my mountain. Amen. I'm gonna take back, 'cause the Lord delivered me. Oh, I'm gonna take back my mountain, raise up a standard today. I'm gonna take back my mountain, 'cause that's God's provided way. I'm gonna take back my mountain, get out my sword and fight. I'm gonna take back my mountain, 'cause the Word says it's right. Oh, I'm gonna take back my mountain. Oh, that's what Caleb said. I'm gonna take back my mountain and slay those giants dead. I'm gonna take back my mountain and press towards the mark. I'm gonna take back my mountain. I'm gonna do my part. Oh, I'm gonna take back my mountain, raise up a standard today. I'm gonna take back my mountain, 'cause that's God's provided way. I'm gonna take back my mountain, get out my sword and fight. I'm gonna take back my mountain, 'cause the Word says it's right. Amen. You thankful we have a... Amen. Amen. Brother Trevor was preaching Press Towards the Mark, and he just yelled out something about taking back your mountain. There's definitely mountains that we can take back. They're ours. Amen. Amen. Why don't we sing this before we go? Amen. Oh, where do I go? Oh, when there's nobody else to turn to, where do I turn to? When nobody wants to listen, where do I lean on? When there's no foundation stable, I go to the rock, I know He's able. I go to the rock, I go to the rock of my salvation, to the
stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Oh, where do I hide until the storms have all passed over? Who do I run to when the winds of sorrow threaten? Is there a refuge in this time of great tribulation? When my soul needs consolation, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation, to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Oh, where do I hide until the storms have all passed over? Who do I run to when the winds of sorrow threaten? Is there a refuge in this time of great tribulation? When my soul needs comfort. God bless you, saints. You can be dismissed. I go to the rock of my salvation, to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Oh, where do I go when there's nobody else to turn to? Who do I turn to when nobody wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock, I know he's able. I go to the rock.